They're looking for the truth. He has found something that he feels he can use in a convincing manner to persuade Christians to do not listen to Muslims and what they have to say. Now, there is a reason for this approach, and John Gilchrist himself, in the book I last referred to, explains why he thinks that other Christian writers are not taking the approach that he has taken in trying to describe Islam as it is. Why is it that many Christian writers, not only the man whose garbage I'm trying to now remove, but other Christians as well, have tried to show that Allah is not the God of the Christians? That Muslims are talking about a different God, about a pagan God. Sometimes they try to depict that Muslims are worshipping a black stone, and so on. The reason for this, according to John Gilchrist, is that these writers think that Islam is a threat from within. I want you to understand that point. In other words, if Hindus say that Christians are worshipping something incorrect, or they don't believe right, nobody has to listen to them. But if Muslims say this, that message can have an impact. One key reason for that is that Islam has continued the faith in Isa alayhi salam, has continued the faith in the God of Isa alayhi salam, has continued the faith in Musa alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. So that when we speak about religion, we're basically speaking about the same religion which Allah revealed to all of His prophets. In other words, we are pulling the carpet from under their feet. It's not that they have one and we have another one. It's just that we have come along and we have said that, look, what you guys thought you have, you don't have because we have it. So we have become a challenge from within. And since they cannot answer our arguments, what they have decided to do now is to try and place us without. So we're no longer within the same Abrahamic faith. We have not inherited the same traditions. We did not continue the same beliefs. And the way to do that is to start with the God that we worship. They think that if they can convince the Christian public that the God we worship is a different God, then every Christian should rather stay far away from us because, you know, that's the way of the shaitan. We've got to be clear of that. That is what they want to accomplish by this particular tactic. But, of course, we are now in an information age. Such a tactic is bound to backfire. Information will be checked. Quotes will be studied. References will be cross-referenced. And if one uses deception in order to promote what he thinks to be true, that is only going to fly back into his face to his own shame. And so after I have done some considerable study on this man's claims, I composed my own little reply to his book.
What was his book?
The Moon God Allah in the Archaeology of the Middle East. So I compiled this little booklet entitled Robert Morey's Moon God Myth and Other Deceptive Attacks on Islam. And in this book I go through in detail, looking at his citations one after another, where he quotes from Caesar Pera, where he quotes from Alfred Guillaume, where he quotes from the Encyclopedia Britannica, where he quotes from Professor Carlton Kuhn. And I show one after another that what he quotes is one thing, and what his sources say is really something very, very different. But he has a few points that he thinks he can feed the average person with, and if one doesn't check the scholarly work behind those few points, one would be persuaded. For example, he says to Christians, you can know that I'm telling the truth, because go, you will see every mosque has a little moon and star on top. See, these people really are into this moon thing. And moreover, they start their fast when they see the moon. So with little things like this, it seems that he's presenting something convincing. Sometimes he'll refer to something which is an actual fact, but the coloring he'll put on it is really a distortion. For example, he'll say, look, this name Allah, it was there before Islam. Look, even the Prophet's father's name was Abdullah. He was the slave of Allah. So Allah was a god that was there before Islam. It was in pagan Arabia. Therefore, this was a pagan god. You see the deception? And then he goes one step further and says, this was the moon god. Whereas in fact, we believe that Allah always existed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his religion to all of his prophets. Over time, his religion was distorted. The religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam was distorted in Arabia, so that people continued to recognize Allah, but in addition to recognizing Allah, they believed that Allah had children, they believed that Allah had associates. They worshipped other gods in order to get closer to Allah. They prayed to idols in order that these idols might be intercessors and intermediaries between them and Allah. But once one knows this entire picture, the deception is erased. But for one who doesn't know, you give something like this into the hands of a Christian, they think, yeah, I always thought that something was wrong with Islam, and this is what it is, really. Or, you put this into the hand of a Christian again, and they read through it, and they see that towards the back, here's this Arab guy, with the Arab traditional headgear, beard and everything, and he's weeping. Look at the tears falling down his eyes. Because he finally found Jesus Christ, and now he says, I must tell my people about the moon god. And then the Christian guy says to him, it may cost you your life. And he says, it will be worth it because I will be with my loving Father in heaven for all eternity. Brother Bilal Phillips, in his book, Usul al-Tafsir, made a passing reference to my book on this, and he referred to it as a devastating reply to Robert Morey. But if Brother Bilal's statement is colored by his own friendship and the fact that we are of the same faith, I'd like to share with you some comments which are offered by a Christian, Gerald Parker, who sent to me his dossier in which he has collected some materials concerning this. And in fact, in this dossier, he has reproduced my entire booklet, Robert Morey's Moon God Myth and Other Deceptive Attacks on Islam. He's just photocopied it, and he has presented it to others after obtaining my permission. And I'd like to just read for you some of what this man thinks about such types of attacks on Islam. Gerald Parker writes, anyway, I am enclosing with this frustrating letter a copy of Shabir Ali's devastating booklet, Robert Morey's Moon God Myth and Other Deceptive Attacks on Islam. Shabir Ali runs the Canadian branch, and then he goes on further, and he says, note Ali's cold but very civil tone. He does not need to indulge in Morey's brand of hysteria and character assassination to make his points, and his calm, lucid approach only heightens the effect of his very effective refutation of Morey's claims. Now, after knowing... Actually, he's writing this letter to the editor of a Christian magazine that has published materials from Robert Morey. So he writes, now, Pastor Otten, after knowing that Shabir Ali... And the Muslim World League will counter Robert Morey every step of the way, not neglecting his abuse. And after reading Ali's booklet, can you, in good conscience, continue to print Morey's diatribes or distribute his shoddy materials? Morey is humiliating the cause of our Lord and Savior and Christians themselves. And Christians themselves must make efforts as strong as Muslims' own efforts to neutralize Morey. Morey demonizes his opponents, and it is never right to do that. We must speak the truth in love, as the Bible urges us to do, not spew forth lies, exaggerations, distortions, and sheer spleen, as Morey does. And then he continues to say, Morey constantly refers to his so-called heroic battles with Islam and with its proponents. In fact, this man has debated both myself and Dr. Badawi on separate occasions. And if you ask the Muslims will say it was a clear victory for Islam. But if you ask Robert Morey, he won every one of them all the way, 100%. But he never mentioned, so far as I have noticed, whatever success his foul methods bring in actually converting Muslims. Why? Because he antagonizes them. Any Muslim knowing his faith realizes how utterly false Morey's arguments are. And that's from Gerald Parker a fellow Christian of Dr. Mori, but that's what he thinks of that whole approach and the way in which we have replied to the points which are made from that direction. So then finally, brothers and sisters, if you came out here today in order to become better Muslims, you might find that this whole presentation is a little bit off the wall. I mean, it's not something that you actually came for. But if you listen to our brother Gary Miller, garbage removal really is a necessary task. You can have the most beautiful house, but if you allow the enemies to come and pile garbage in front of that house, nobody's going to be able to see how beautiful your house is. And that's the very point of piling the garbage in the first place. So Muslims have to remove that garbage. If that's the only thing we did in Da'wah, we can at least say we have made some contribution. We did not allow people to go about spreading lies and attacking Allah and His Messenger and saying falsehood about the religion of truth. In fact, a hadith Qudsi says, "Kazzaban ibn Adam wa lam yakul lahu dhalik." The child of Adam has denied me and had no right to do so. "Washatamani wa lam yakul lahu dhalik." And has insulted me and had no right to do so. Muslims cannot sit around and stand by and allow the enemies of Allah to insult Allah. And yet this is what is being done. Other people are making efforts to spread their faith. Did you ever get a knock on your door one Sunday morning? Jehovah's Witnesses. Hear another knock 2 minutes later? Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We've got the Book of Mormon for you. You have them here? Yes? You see, these young men, they are in the path for 2 years. Because they live by a philosophy that when they finish high school, they should go into that missionary work for 2 years. And their parents fund that effort by putting forward $10,000 to look after their expenses while they're fi sabil al-taghut for 2 years. And I want to ask you, while you're in good spirits and laughing over this, how much are you going to give fi sabil Allah so that Islam should be available in the literature, in the newspapers, it should be broadcast on radio, it should be shown on television, it should be there wide on the internet for the entire world to read and to view and to see? How much of your time, how much of your effort, how much of your professional skills, how much of your funds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, will you give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that the garbage should be removed and so that the nur should be spread? قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوكَ وَآخِرَ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. السلام عليكم.